Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tucker, let me ask you this question. How come more Democratic incumbents aren't out there proudly waving the flag for Barack Obama and allowing the Republicans to frame the narrative?
You know, it is kind of mind-boggling. I think that you go with success. You tout the record of success. And I think to walk away from what this administration accomplished causes a disconnect and confuses the voter. I think when you look at the track record of the deficit being reduced much quicker than anyone ever anticipated, when you see the private sector job growth continue month by month since March of 2009, when we dipped the lowest in the recession, and when you think of even the foreign policy, you know, there's Osama bin Laden that's been removed from the scene. I mean, there's still work to be done. We're bringing our troops home. You know, there's a lot to talk about. And the Affordable Care Act. You put tens of millions of people into a better situation where they not only get better care, but taxpayers are impacted in a more effective outcome. I think there's a track record there that speaks to responding to the needs of the middle-income community, the working families of this country. And when you stand united and celebrate that success, people understand it and they would be focused. Here, it's given those who criticize and fabricate perhaps about the that success chart a little more of a foundation.
So you talk to your colleagues in the House, you know, you're standing up there between votes or whatever. What are they telling you? I mean, how do they explain this?
Well, I think people look at the degree of difficulty of communicating certain successes because many of these things were hammered away at. But, you know, I've always suggested that when the voter votes, when that individual casts her vote, it's done with a lot of analysis. It's done with checking out the bottle on the shelf and saying, what are the ingredients? And this is what I want. So if they're voting for you, knowing you have democratic principles, why not stay with those? And hearing something about, well, if you go home, this is hard to sell. Well, part of our job is to explain our vote, not just share the vote with the general public, but explain how you got from the starting gate to the finish line.
But you would be proud to have Barack Obama come in and campaign for you, right?
Absolutely. We've worked with the president. We've worked on this energy agenda to create a self-sufficient outcome, growing our self-sufficiency, working on energy efficiency. We've had a great working relationship from Energy and Commerce with the Department of Energy and his administrative people. They've been tremendous. They've done visits into the district about how we can introduce innovation. They're citing this region as one of the five most influential bits of geography in the country for clean energy innovation, high-tech job growth. Yeah, we've had a good, sound working partnership. These are not easy years. These have been very tough years. Coming out of a recession, stopping the bleeding of the recession, dealing with a war that pretty much didn't go after the right target, and having to clean and clear that up and then return the troops and, again, counting the Osama bin Laden outcome as a factor of a safer world. These are things that, you know, you can easily talk about.
How's your election going?
We're enjoying the campaign because there's a lot to talk about. I've enjoyed this past session in Congress being seated on Energy and Commerce, talking about that innovation economy, the need to invest in research, invest in training and retraining and education and higher education. And, you know, just sharing with the public what those conversations have been about. I'm a firm believer that the constituency that you have the opportunity to serve needs to fill your voice. And so we have been at countless different programs out there, and we have organized structural programs with tours that we do with small business, retail, the high-tech manufacturing sectors, and industry. And I think in terms of how the campaign's going, you know, all of that involvement, I think, is faring well for us.
Well, you know, Paul Tucker, I've known you for a long time. I know you to run scared in every election, even though you may well be thought to be winning big. Why do you do that?
Why do I do it? I think, A, the attempt to meet as many people as you can is a just and important one. I think people deserve that interaction. Why do I run frightened? I think it's important to just feel that there's not enough time to communicate and just push yourself to the max. You know, there are a number of people, 711,000 people that are choosing their voice in Washington, and you just want to be able to do as many one-on-one situations or as personalized visits as you can. And I think the climate out there is an unpredictable one. I think that by having the people guide us and advise us with these many visits, you feel comfortable about what you're supporting because they've created that agenda. But if you leave it to the national discussion or to these agents that will come in and encourage us to cast our vote and to govern our country by soundbite or bumper sticker, that's a threatening feeling. I think we need a thoughtful, mindful, academic approach to the job. And so I try to bring that into the mix.
So we saw at least one Republican majority leader go down who wasn't even in his district on election day. Did that send shockwaves through the Congress?
It most certainly did. I think it reminds all of us that the important thing to do is take care of business at home. You know, you can get trapped in that bigger picture. And it's important because the policy development will guide this ship and enable us as a country to be competitive in an innovation economy that is international in scope. But all said and done, Tip O'Neill said it best, all politics is local. And you have to make certain that you're connecting and communicating and, you know, listening as you go through time. And if you don't do that, there can be some stern lessons that are taught.
Well, Taco, did you hear the debate? I know you're out late and working really hard, or read about the debate between Astorino and Cuomo and two other candidates. I wonder whether you had any impressions coming out of that.
Well, I heard a bit of it. I, again, for campaign purposes, was not able to watch the television broadcast.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah, and I think yours truly. And from what I can gather, you know, it was, an exchange of a one-hour debate is not very much time to get out all the issues that
especially
need to
with
be
four
shared.
People.
Right. But, you know, I'm certain from what I'm reading, the governor touted his record for upstate New York and the job growth and the investments made. And, the opponent, Mr. Astorino, reached to, you know, some of the more unfinished business items that always exist.
Like the Moreland Ag Commission.
Or the different issues that would need to be addressed, and raised those and got forceful about them. And again, I hope people will put every bit of thought into their choices here, because we're into some very complex issues, and we need to know all the details of just what people are thinking and how they would carry their thought process through the committee structure and the halls of government.
I only got a minute, but Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate, who I think you share certain major thoughts with, is running at 9%, which is huge in the polls. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it shows that there's a lot of strength these days in independent candidates. We see them across the board in these congressional races, and I think that it just shows the very conflicted quality, maybe, that's part of this campaign, the where people are really looking for certain specifics and they'll find them in a candidate. I know that there's a lot of discussion about, pro-worker, equal pay for equal work, discussions about strengthening the workforce and addressing the socioeconomic times that we live in. And people are looking everywhere for the right candidate. And I think there's a growing sense of independence amongst the electorate, and they're searching. And I think it speaks to the uneasiness of the campaign this year, that there are many critical issues that aren't getting resolved for whatever reason. And I look at all the unfinished business in Washington, and that angers people, and it should.
And they're looking for another way out.
Yeah, they're looking for a third choice, perhaps, because the major parties are polarized in the effort.
Paul Tonko, always wonderful to talk to you. I do treasure your friendship and your willingness to come in here, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's always my pleasure, and we appreciate the opportunity.